Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again, we have Justin Carpenter. In this show, we discuss the incredible practice of fasting, the different types of fasting, the pros and cons, and the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits. Justin Carpenter just completed, amazingly, 144 hours, that is 6 days, dry fast, which means without any food or any water. And scientists tell us that we can only live 3 days without water. So he's going to tell us all about this incredible experience. Justin is a heartfelt spiritual man who shares his divine wisdom and sacred truth about Christ consciousness within and our awakening world on his website, YouTube, Telegram chat, and Facebook. And you can connect with him down in the description. So Justin, welcome back again to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Great. It's so good to have you. And honestly, the show is all about fasting, and you have just completed 144 hours, which is 6 days, of a dry fast, meaning no food and water. This is incredible, absolutely amazing, right? And
go ahead. Yeah,
no,
it was amazing, truly.
I mean, I just can't believe you did that, because scientists say that we can only live 3 days without water.
That's the common thing that they like to say, and I did a little bit more research in that, and some will go as far as you can survive up to a week without water in the right conditions, but yeah, it's certainly from a scientific perspective, it's teetering on the verge of death, and I come out doing something like that, and I feel better than ever after having completed something like that. So it's like, what's real here?
That's it. That's exactly, you know, exactly. You can push the boundaries because, you know, our bodies are completely changing and morphing and evolving, you know, and we don't believe what they say anyway. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But I just wanted you to give our audience a little bit about what is fasting, you know, the different ways to fast and some of the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual benefits of fasting. And then I'm going to get you to tell us all about what happened to you.
Yeah, great question. And so what does it mean to fast? So the root of that word and what it used to mean, somewhere along the way, it sort of shifted towards meaning like speedy and quick. But really, fast means to hold strong. So to fast means to sort of hold off on something, or to hold strong in some position. And so commonly what it refers to when we're talking about eating is abstaining from eating or consuming something. So there are various forms of fast, and people often like to call this one a fast, and it is in some degree, but there's a fruit fast. So it's going on nothing but fruit. And this can be very helpful in healing, hydrating, and you're sort of abstaining from the heavier, denser foods as well. So you're giving your body a really good digestive time to rest, because fruit is very easy to digest. And you're also giving it a lot of nourishment. So this is often the easiest one for anyone to jump into, and you'll still feel extreme benefit from going on any prolonged period of just fruit. It's a very cleansing, detoxifying way of being. And it can be challenging as well, especially if you're not used to shifting in that kind of way. Even the parasites within us, most of them can't sustain on such a simple form of food. So it has the benefit of providing a space where somebody can do this without taking too much time off of their regular life, because you're still getting nourishment, but you're also going through deep levels of cleansing. So some people call it a fast. Some people say it's not really fast because you're still consuming things, but I'm still throwing that in the category. And then moving from there, there's a water or liquid fast. So going on a water fast, you're only consuming water. You're not having any food. And this can be very helpful as well. as just another sort of stepping stone to get into. And then there's other layers of that. I don't know how much your listeners are used to Orin fasting, but there is the fasting where you're only consuming your own liquid, so your own urine, and looping in that sort of direction. That's sort of a taboo subject for many people to consider, but it is a very powerful form of cleansing and fasting within that as well. And then the fast that I did is, as you mentioned, the dry fast, which is no food, no water for the entire duration, and that allows for the deepest levels of cleansing. People often attribute the dry fast of being three times faster than a water fast as far as cleansing, because you're really abstaining from any sort of nourishment for the parasites and little buggers within you to live off of. And so if you can say, okay, my body can last longer than these little parasites, then that's what I'm doing. I'm going to starve them out. I'm going to give my body a complete reset so that they are not able to sustain and I can reclaim my body, from these invaders, essentially. So it's a very powerful form of reset. And I like to use the analogy of like a dirty pool, so where our body is kind of like a dirty pool. It's full of toxins and things that have accumulated over the years and whatever, and we don't often give it a break. So it's always addressing new toxins that are coming in and sort of having to push off to the side the old toxins that it wasn't able to address when it could. And that's actually why we accumulate fat, is to encapsulate the toxins that our body wasn't able to deal with during that time. It was too busy digesting and dealing with other things. So it encloses that toxin in the fat cells and stores it for later to address at a later point in time. Well, if we never go through a period of fasting or just a break from these, then it never has time to address that. So why I say it's like a dirty pool, because people will say that water fasting is more effective because you're flushing the toxins away. But it's like if you have a dirty pool of water, and you're sure you can add clean water to that dirty pool, and the dirty water is going to kind of flow off the edge, and it eventually will, but you're going to have to add a lot of water for a long period of time in order for that water to really cleanse itself. Well, what if you could just drain the pool and then burn off the toxins and then refill it with clean water? That seems like a much more effective and faster way of doing things. And that's actually what happens within a dry fast. You're draining those old toxic reserves of water. Your body's then able to turn on this kind of magical system within a dry fast where the cells start to heat up and the toxins actually burn away, and we actually expel the majority of the waste through our breath. So that's what makes a dry fast so powerful. And this isn't something that's scientifically recognized as something that happens. Most people within the medical community say that dry fasting is extremely dangerous. And I want to add that disclaimer that I'm in no way suggesting that anyone go out and try this without. You have to take matters into your own hands, do your research, and step into this. I'm just sharing my experience and what I've learned through that. So it's
And you
important to me.
you've done many, many, many fasts,
Yes.
and you've
Yes.
you've been a fruit eater for many years, and then so you've been preparing for a while, a long time.
Yes, exactly. And so it does require a lot of shifting, and it can be very dangerous if somebody tries to jump into it far too quickly. It can be, and it has been. It's proven deadly for people who are not ready to go into something like this. However, on the other side, it's high risk, high reward. It can be one of the most powerful ways of shifting and getting out of debilitating diseases and things of that nature that otherwise were seemingly impossible to quote unquote cure without this.
And I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it, how the body, when you're in that state, it cleans itself, doesn't it? And
Yes.
the body releases the toxins during that fast. So, I mean, I've done a fruit lots of fruit fasts, and I get a headache, and I smell you smell because you're releasing the toxins that way. Sometimes I'm actually physically sick, because it's so strong on the body. But these all just symptoms, aren't they? They're all just releasing. But you've got to be careful that you've not been eating, like meat, alcohol, and all of this, and then you just go boom, even on a fruit fast, because that you will get severe symptoms, fasting symptoms, won't you? You have to really sort of like tell us how to get into it easily,
Yeah.
and any of the other symptoms that you think.
Yeah, so that's a great point. So as whatever our lifestyle is sort of the level of toxin accumulation that we're doing on a regular basis, and moving to something like a fast, and as I mentioned, those various forms of fasting are sort of different levels of severity of going into a fast. And the deeper you go into a fast, the more severe that sort of toxic waste removal process is going to be. And sometimes that's far too much for our body to handle at any given one time. So it is important to sort of slowly, incrementally step into these sort of things. Do a fruit fast for a period of time. You will feel a candida die-off period, which is where a lot of this fungal overgrowth starts to die off because it can't digest that the fruit as it moves through our body far too quickly. And then from that's what makes these sort of parasites and this fungus, because it locks into our nervous system when it's within us, and it actually punishes us when we don't consume the things that it wants to eat. So that's where we get a lot of reactions like mouth ulcers, nausea, headaches, and all these different things. Are it's sending stimulus to our nervous system to try and drive us to go back to eating the food that it wants to eat. So that's where we have to hold strong or fast through that period of time to say, no, I am reclaiming sovereignty over my body. I'm not going to let you make these decisions any longer. And in those moments, we do most of the time, it's best to push past those symptoms. Because if we just abandon the fast in that moment and we give in to it, we're actually just going to potentially cause a greater growth within that candida and those parasites within that space. So it's really important to overcome those moments. However, you also have to be cautious too, because there can be points where it's far too severe and far too intense for the body to deal with. And people will, one of the I like to kind of give the main warning signs that somebody should break a fast, and everything else outside of that are just sort of discomfort that you can push past typically. So the main warning signs that I like to follow are, and this is more true on a dry fast as far as an erratic heartbeat, but this can be true in any of the fasting times. If your heartbeat is very erratic, like as you're completely resting, if it's going from a very low RPM to a very high RPM and kind of oscillating between that, you're getting heart palpitations and things of that nature, it's time to break the fast. Your body's getting too toxic for it to deal with. The blood is moving too slowly, especially in a dry fast, and it's time to break the fast. This one is true for just about any fast, but if your kidneys start to feel sore and start to hurt, that means that they're unable to process the toxin load within your system quickly enough. So that's a time to break the fast as well. You don't want to be straining the kidneys far too long, for too often. And then another one would be, and this is again more true on a dry fast, but to not, if you're unable to move very far. If you're unable to move very far at all without, especially without getting lightheaded, and fainting, even blacking out, you can get a little lightheaded and that's okay. But if it's very consistent and you're unable to walk, like 50 feet, 20 meters or something like that, then that's another sign that you should probably break the fast because your blood is moving too slowly and it's time to shift out of that. So these are kind of the main signs where if you hit those points, it's a good time to break the fast. But if it's anything else in that, headaches, mouth sores, some nausea, though nausea you do, if you start to vomit excessively, that's a time to break the fast. But if it's just nausea, that can be pushed past. And these are things to sort of give that parasitic overgrowth within the body a chance to die off. And like I said, it's not necessarily comfortable, but it's important to push past that because otherwise you just end up feeding it what it wants later on, and so it doesn't actually address the problem. So yeah, those would be some tips for kind of getting into that. And back to your question around like, sort of slowly moving into that and trusting the signs as you move through that sort of process. That's why it is important to sort of incrementally take it and not jump into a hardcore fast right away, because you start to, it's like a muscle that you train. Fasting is like a muscle that you train. So the more that you do it, the more your body can shift into that mode faster, and the less likely you're going to experience any intense reactions to it. So it's something like you have to train over time for sure.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And, you know, before you, it's, you've got to plan it out, haven't you? Like before, you know, like, say you're going to do the fast in 5 weeks or 6 weeks, then slowly, slowly, maybe you should come off of, you know, if you're eating meat, definitely come off of that. You know,
Yes.
no alcohol, you know, no processed foods, you know, going raw, you know, having more, you know, as you come up towards that, because then you're releasing, you're letting go of them toxins. It's not going to be so heavy, the toxic release, is
Yes.
it? You know, I found that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The preparation is really important to, especially if you're planning on going on a longer, more extended fast, then it's essential that you prepare for it appropriately, and making sure that not only you're eating an abundance of raw hydrating foods, because hydration is really important on any fast that you're going to be doing, but also to, as you mentioned, to reduce the toxic load, but also to be sort of building our body and preparing it for a moment where we're abstaining from any particular way that we're going to be doing it. So if it's going in a water fast or a dry fast, you want to make sure that you have an adequate mineral reserves within your body. And you also want to make sure that it's built for that too. You know, like people who are really very skinny and are only sort of, and I do want to clarify that I'm not on 100% fruit diet, and I used to think that fruit was like the end all be all, but now I'm seeing that there really is a benefit in having a balance, and you know, the greens and the nuts and seeds is sometimes as well, and having a balance within that is really quite helpful. And I even do some cooked foods at times as well, as long as I keep it whole foods. So just whole food, plant based is where I stay, and I find that that's a more balanced point to stay in that space, because then there's not, with it, with hardcore fruitarians, it's not as easy to go into an extended water or dry fast because their bodily reserves are just not there.
Yeah.
Which might be okay if that's the lifestyle that you want to sustain and stay with.
Mm.
However, going in a deeper fast really has such profound benefits, as I mentioned, because you're starving off the little buggers. So
yeah.
if you want your body to have the fat reserves and the ability to go into a longer fast, then it's good to include some denser foods at times in order to prepare for that extended time where you're abstaining from all of that. So there's a balance within all of it. And, you know, it kind of looks a little different for everybody. And that's why it's important to have the experience and go through it slowly, but also do quite a bit of research and learning from other people who have experienced far greater. You know, like I just had on my show the other day, the guy who really inspired me to go deeper into this dry fast, and he's done several 20 plus day dry fasting of no
yeah.
food or no water, which is just magnificent. But
yeah.
he's given a lot of knowledge and his experience to share with that. So that guy's name is Fasting with Trevor, which I'd highly recommend people listening to if you want to learn more about the specifics of dry fasting and somebody
yeah.
who's experienced in that way. So yeah, I think that
that's amazing.
Covers
That's
it.
Amazing. And I want you to tell us, so let's go through, could you just go through your 144 hours, yeah? Like, you know, on a day-to-day and what you was feeling, and if, you know, because, God, I'm really starving, or what, you know, did when you went through that, Because I know that we all go through that stage, and how you felt, and then what, the euphoria or what you felt during that time.
Yeah, happily. So it starts off pretty simply. Day one really doesn't feel much different at all. I mean, because I've done many fasts prior to, my body kind of gets in that mode pretty quickly. Some people have a hard time with day one with the hunger. It doesn't really bother me that much. I mean, it's like a little bit, I might be a little hungry, but it's not too bad. Day two, the thirst and the hunger pick up quite a bit, and but it's nothing that I didn't feel like I could manage. I was pretty committed to this lofty idea that I was going to keep all electronics and everything shut off for the entire duration, and I only made it about a day and a half before I caved and turned those back on, just because it is, I think it's a wonderful spiritual exercise, and I would suggest anyone to try and see how long you can go without any form of other distractions. But you also kind of, at least I had to find a balance within that as well, because it can be very kind of maddening to be isolated and in that space and fasting and no other distractions whatsoever. So I did eventually cave and start to sort of use those periodically, where I would use them for a time and then I would put them away for a time and just sit in stillness for that. So that was kind of the mental games that I was playing for the whole time, of just like working with, just being with myself and the thoughts continuously coming of like, oh man, I should break this fast now. I'm feeling really thirsty. Like, why do I even need to go this long? Like, I feel like I'm pretty healthy. Like, so all the little mind games that would be played, of like, my ego trying to get me to break this fast in this point. So it becomes a very powerful test of the mind and the will to see how far you can push past that. And I felt pretty confident with doing that. I was, it was very challenging, going from day two to day three, and thinking like, wow, I'm barely even halfway there to where I want to go. I've got to double this time. I'm already really tired of doing this on day three. Day three is often regarded as a pretty big hump on a dry fast to get over. That's where the hunger really is. The hunger starts to fade fairly quickly after day two. That's not really as,
I
go
think
ahead.
the thirst for me would be because I drink so much water.
Yeah, it's the thirst is what sticks. The hunger kind of goes away. Even getting to the point to where most food just th seemed disgusting to me. Like, I didn't really want any food. The only food that continued to stay appealing was fruit. Fruit was like, that sounds like it would be nice to have. So I had to like avoid any pictures or things that if I was on social media or whatever of the fruit. But if I came across like other things, like other recipes of cooked foods and things like that, it didn't seem appealing at all. I was like, nah, that doesn't, I don't even really want to look at that.
And
But the,
can I
yeah,
ask
go ahead.
you, was you, because for me to do that, I mean, I've got four children and all these animals and everything, I'd have to go away
Yes.
to do that and be isolated by myself, like in a beautiful place where I could walk in nature and everything, and because I couldn't do it if I was with all of the
Yeah,
distractions.
it is important to make sure that all obligations and distractions are kept to a minimum. The more that you can do that, the more situated you will be for that. So I was fortunate to not have anything lined up, and I could sort of just take a pause, and all of my obligations, everyone around me knew what I was doing, but I was sort of left alone. And I have my own like living space as well, so I could do that. But yeah, you wouldn't want to. I mean, you can get away with doing one, two, maybe 3 days around other people, and it can be okay. But anything past that, yeah, you'd really want to have your own space and no distractions, other than what you chose, and then Yeah, no obligations for sure. Yeah, it's very
Yeah.
important to have that, because it after once you're getting into day three and beyond, you're going to be feeling quite lethargic and wanting to rest quite a lot. It is important to move some every day, though. It is important to go on gentle walks and do maybe like some rebounding or some very gentle like jumping jacks or things of that nature, just to keep the lymph flowing, because you're not, especially on a dry fast, you're not drinking water and fluids. So to help move the lymph around the body as toxins are sort of coming out of the cells, get them to the spaces to where they can be burned off and eliminated. It is, like I said, it's magical. The body turns into like this furnace and just starts dumping toxins into these little furnaces, and you experience it too. And that's why environment's really important, because you want to have a cool, humid environment to be in. So that's really important, because I tried dry fasting in Mexico, and that was extremely uncomfortable, because by after about day three, your body turns into that furnace mode.
Wow, do you
And
get hot? You get hot
yes.
and you start sweating. Do you sweat and you're sweating out the toxins?
If it in Mexico, I was sweating during the dry fast, which is not ideal. You don't want to be sweating at all. So you want to be regulating your temperature so that you're cool and comfortable for that whole time. So
Sure.
that's why having a cooler environment is helpful, because you can just go outside or whatever to sort of regulate the temperature. But if you can't find that relief and you start to sweat, that's valuable water that you don't want to be losing during that time as well. So it's not good to sweat. Most of the toxins are going to be leaving through your breath. So breathing is very important, to do deep, centered breathing and sort of practice any breathing exercises, but not any like, you wouldn't be doing like the breath of fire or something really
Yeah.
intense like that, but just really slow, methodic breathing is
Justin,
going to be helpful. Yeah, go ahead.
just one second. I'm just going to let my dog in because he's barking and he's going to go mad and he's just like, come on, in, shush, silly boy. Okay, go. Yeah.
So what was the initial question that you
And it
asked?
was just, you got to day four.
Yeah. So we're at day four, and it's still just the temptations to break the fast, combating against the will to push onward. And I'm managing my symptoms, which were nothing like too crazy. At least at this point, there was nothing other than just sheer exhaustion. I would get a little lightheaded when I would stand up. I didn't really want to move very much, very quickly. But I loved going outside every time I did. Every time I opened the door and stepped outside in the fresh air. If you can get it to an ideal climate to where it's cool enough, but not too cold to where you can camp outside, that's like the perfect scenario. If you can find a body of water to like actually lay on the bare ground and be outside the majority of the time, that's ideal. Because every time that I would go outside, it was like this uplifting, just magical feeling. And I would go take a little walk down to the lake here and just lay next to the lake and just feel the breeze. And it was quite cool, close to just barely above freezing some days. But I was bundled up enough to where it was comfortable, and I would just lay on the ground and just feel the breeze and feel the fresh air and listen to the water and feel that grounding effect of the earth. And it was in those moments that I felt really the most deeply connected with the divine. I mean, there was really such a profound sense of peace and just knowing that it's all okay. Any sort of, I wouldn't say fears came up that much, but any sort of just doubts of like, can I really do this? Like, is this crazy? Am I hurting my body more by doing something like this? Any of those doubts would just wash away whenever I was connected in that space. So, yeah, I can't stress enough like how important it is to have access to nature so that you can immerse yourself into it as much as possible. And so that was really quite something to feel and experience. So day four and day five are pretty similar. You know, it's getting more challenging. The thirst is growing as I'm going through this. And it was towards the end of day five where, and I had planned on doing 6 days anyway. But I did start to, I don't whether this was I sensed that this was going to be my limit anyway, but it was as I was getting into day six that I did start to feel just a very dull ache in my kidneys. And I'm like, okay, this is the time where, you know, my body's experiencing perhaps its limit, and it's going to be time to break the fast. So I maybe, you know, I really wanted to make it to that 144 hour mark. So I was like, I'm going to make it there. And I did make it there. And the last moments before drinking water was just a perfect day. The sun was out, and I was able to comfortably sit outside by this stream next to this spring that we could get fresh water from. And so I had my jars filled up with the spring water, and I'm
Wow.
sitting in the sun by the stream. And as
It must
soon
have
as
been
that.
amazing just to take that first, sip
It
or go down. Wow.
was it was it was it was so invigorating, and you just feel that life force just flow through you. And you know, it's like water is such a powerful form of energy as well, and you don't notice that as much until you've spent time away from it. So to have that reconnecting feel, those reconnection feelings of bringing the water back into my system was incredibly powerful. And it actually inspired me to go. I did another 24 hours on just water. So I stayed away from food so really fasted for 7 days. And
Wow.
but that seventh day was so simple. Like I could have kept going on the water, and my, because it was like my life just came back. My voice, I sounded like death. I mean, and it's important to keep your mouth closed and breathe only through your nose when you're on a dry fast. So I was doing that majority of the time, but on the seventh day or on the sixth day, as I was approaching the end of the dry fast portion, I was communicating with Darth, who was going to give me a ride to the spring. And my voice just sound, I mean, you know, you couldn't even recognize me. It sounded like I could barely get noise out of my throat. And but just drinking the water, my voice came back completely, and my energy levels like bounced back. I was like feeling good and able to move about and lift things. And so yeah, it was just a real powerful testament to how energizing water can be. And I loved that last little day with it. And then I started, you know, slowly introducing things as well, which I can go over sort of the how to break the fast if you want to shift to that next, the refeed. So it's important to take that layer of it extremely slowly as well. And this is actually I'd say where most people make the most mistakes are in the refeed. You know, they think, oh, I've just done this incredible thing and it was very challenging, but now I can celebrate by going back into whatever I was eating beforehand very quickly. And as I mentioned, any parasites that are still left alive, they're going to be drawing you to those foods that it wants you to eat. And so it's important not to give in to those urges, because you're wanting to really take advantage of this more clean slate that you've just given your body during a fast. So at this point, it becomes essentially a war between the sort of bad bacteria and good bacteria within our gut. And they're both trying to repopulate quickly. If the bad bacteria can often be the loudest, and trying to drive you to eating the denser, more processed foods or whatever that they were usually used to being fed on. But we don't want to feed those. We want to feed the good bacteria. So if we repopulate our gut with things that are designed to eat the fruit and the raw living foods and things of that nature, then it's going to be much easier to repopulate those. And then eventually the bad bacteria, they don't have a footing to stand on. So to refeed, it's important to start really low and really slow. Don't even fruit, even fruit can be too intense as far as like too much sugar all at once. So you really want to stay with like, I mean, from a long dry fast, I did coconut water and I did just like water with lemon or lime, you know. So I just kept it really low for at least the first few hours. And then I started taking some sips of some diluted juice. So I'd make some fresh orange juice and dilute that down with water or grapefruit juice or whatever. And then just kind of like slowly sort of ramp up even the sugar content from the fruit until my body felt like it could handle that. And then you start moving into, you know, this, and this is a days long process. You need about the same amount of time to refeed from a dry fast as you do that you're in it. So it almost take me a week of refeeding, of like slowly acclimating things, going step by step from the lighter towards the more denser things. So I wasn't eating any concentrated fat forms, nuts or avocados or anything like that for almost that whole first week. I didn't go back to any cooked foods for that whole first week. So it was all just ramping up from diluted juices to full strength juices to smoothies and whole fruits and things of that nature before my body was ready to shift back into that. But a lot of people, and I really enjoyed doing it this time, will use like probiotics and things of that nature. So if you like to make your own fermentation stuff, making like a fermented cabbage juice is what I enjoy doing, fermented nut yogurts or coconut yogurts or things of that, which are pretty simple to make if anyone's just wanting to go, you know, look on YouTube for ways to make those kind of things. It's not very challenging. Or you can get probiotic supplements and things of that nature too, to as I mentioned, this sort of war between the gut flora, you want to make sure that you're feeding the good side. So anything that's going to help them to repopulate the fastest is helpful so that you're able to shift your system to be able to digest the things that you want to digest, the whole food plant-based reality. So that can be really helpful to introduce on like day three or so of the refeed to start introducing the probiotics and the that kind of stuff within the system. And then yeah, it's just as you're ready to shift back into where you were before and wherever you want to go before, because the fast is a great opportunity to maybe make some powerful shifts within the lifestyle. If you want to let go of any particular food, that's the best time to do it, because as soon as you start reintroducing things, then you start building your gut flora to address that. So if you want to abstain from something like meat, this would be a great time to shift out of that. So yeah, it kind of looks a little different for everybody, but
Wow.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
It's amazing. It really is. And during that refeed, how was you feeling? You know, was it was how was the feeling of that? Did you feel lighter? Did you feel cleansed in that moment?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting relationship with food, because it's not quite as energizing as you might think. Like, it's almost a powerful realization that the physical food is a sort of lesser form of energy than we might think. You know, we're so conditioned in thinking that we've got to eat this physical food in order to live. But as you start to reacclimate, you go through a period of time where you're not doing it, and you start to reacclimate to it. You start to realize just how much energy the digestive system really takes. So it like kind of have this back and forth where you'd feel like a boost, especially from things like fruit, where it's like you're giving the body the sugar and the fuel that it's really searching for within the physical food and the hydrating water within it as well. But then there's the give and take with, okay, maybe I ate a little bit too much, or I'm just feeling the digestive process working. So yeah, it's a powerful way to sort of examine that we don't really. No, there is something within us that doesn't really need that. There is something within us that doesn't really need that to sustain itself. And I'm not suggesting that we can immediately jump to that sort of lifestyle, but there are many people out there that are making claims around sort of a more breatharian lifestyle. And I don't think,
It's the prana,
I'm sure.
isn't it? They're living
Yes.
on prana. They're living on the life force energy. That's what
Exactly.
the yogis do when they go and they
Exactly.
cleanse. They don't take food, do they? I think
No.
the body is miraculous,
It truly is.
we can heal ourselves, if we have the right conditioning.
Absolutely. Yeah, the shift towards pranic living, fasting is probably the best tool in order to shift that direction. And it's not something that we can necessarily do overnight, but having those sort of realizations and realizing that the physical food isn't as necessary as I might have thought it was, can be quite helpful to shifting our systems back into accepting that reality. So yeah, it was it, it's an in, it was interesting sensations to sort of notice and observe, and I'd say the best part about it is just everything becomes much more conscious consumption. So whatever it is that I'm eating, whatever I'm eating now, I'm much more conscious of like, okay, this is what this feels like as it goes into my body. This is how I feel afterwards. This is the sort of energy that I get from this or don't. So I can sort of recalibrate my choices on a regular basis in a much simpler way, which, I find very, very helpful in that, as is in this sort of gentle evolution that we have in a relationship with food.
It's just amazing. It really is. And because also I've heard, like, when we have, because the body basically starts eating itself, doesn't it?
Yeah,
So if we've
that's.
got cysts, or if we've got cancer, or any, within the body, then they break down. And that's why we pee out. That's why we get the headaches. That's why we sweat it out. That's why it all comes out. The body starts eating away all of that stuff, all the cysts. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the phase. So the body goes through ketosis initially, which it's shifting to fat burning, and then it shifts into autophagy, which is, as you mentioned, it's like self-cannibalizing. So that's what autophagy means. It's a Latin phrase
But
for self-eating.
not the good stuff.
No, it's only consuming, yeah, the dead cells, the things that are decaying or just not functioning as they should. Your entire immune system regenerates as well. All of the old white blood cells get regenerated and spit out. So your body just goes through, it's going through stress. So it's like activating some survival mechanisms within our body, but those survival mechanisms are incredibly powerful of just revamping everything. Your body's essentially like, okay, there's something going on here. We might be going to war or something like that. So we need to really get down and get dirty with everything that's a problem and fix it. So when you can tap into that mechanism, our body's like it's like this powerful computer that we get to program. And so that's like a way to tap into the programming and go deeper into these areas and sort of target these things automatically to say, okay, I'm going to give you a break from having to worry about digestion. Now you can go fix these areas that maybe have been accumulating for years and years
That's
that it
right.
hasn't had a chance to address in so long.
That's right. That's right. You're giving the digestive system a much needed rest so it can go on and eat the bad stuff. How does it know that? I mean, it's miraculous.
It is. Yeah, and that's like it's such a incredible opportunity to practice that leap of faith and knowing that we've been gifted this miraculous body that is so much more intelligent than we are as far as like figuring things out. And all we have to do is get out of its way and let it do it and trust.
That's right. Just brilliant. Oh wow. Honestly, I just can't believe that. Like when I saw you on Facebook, 144 hours, 6 days. It's just like that's crazy. But thank you so much, Justin, for going into such depth and really giving us so much advice about fasting and all the different ways to fast and going into it and the pros and cons. It's been just thank you for your divine wisdom today.
Thank you for receiving it. And I would say that if anyone is curious about maybe a more comprehensive guide on dry fasting, I did make a little PDF printout that you can find on my website. If you just search for 144 hours, I think you can find it, or dry fasting, you can find it. And my website's justincarpenter.org.
Lovely, brilliant,
Yeah.
fantastic. Well, Justin, thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show again, my soul brother.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always such a fun time being here and just appreciate all that you're doing.
Lovely, that was so good.
Yeah.
That's it, you've inspired me now.